Hang in there, it is.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to another episode of The Smiley Show. Smiley Kaufman is live from Birmingham, Alabama, and I am live from the Marine Troon Hotel.
How are the rooms? I think I'm staying there soon.
Are you staying at the Marine Troon?
I think we are, yeah.
First of all, you're going to love the walk to the course because I'm looking right out the window right here in this conference room, and I'm looking at a tent that's situated right next to the golf course.
Really? Wow.
So that's going to be nice.
Are you right there on 18?
Yes.
Sure you are. Why wouldn't you? Is Royal Troon closed right now? Can you play it?
Okay. I think they shut it down for play. I think we got in on last Sunday. We got in, I think, I want to say on, we had a whole travel fiasco that we can recap at some point. American Airlines. I got something for you, American Airlines.
All right. So you're staying there, but you're playing like Prestwick, I imagine, or at some point.
Prestwick tomorrow.
Are you able to go out and like walk Royal Troon though? Are you able to do that?
Well, so Smiley, I went over to the Royal Troon shop yesterday and I could walk out on the course if I wanted to. There's nothing stopping me. But as a committed Green Committee member back at home, I was trying to obey the signs that said don't step on the grass. I have a lot of respect for the greenskeepers out there in the world. So I didn't walk on the course, but one could should they, you know, feel motivated to. So, yeah.
You need to go check out number 7. You just got to go see the postage stamp.
Oh, it's a shame. We're leaving tomorrow after we play Prestwick.
What time are you playing?
Playing Prestwick at 10:30. I guess I'd have time to get up.
Wake up tomorrow morning and walk out there and cruise around. You got to go see 11. You got to go see 7. It's those two holes out there.
That would be a good morning walk if I get up in time. Because it's 11:30 right now at night.
You're fine. Come on.
Cup of tea. Yeah, we played Dundonald, Turnberry, and Western Gales thus far. Played Western Gales today.
I haven't played any of them.
Are you bringing your clubs?
I am not bringing my clubs.
To the Open?
Oh, that's right. If I was going to be working the Scottish like I was originally supposed to be working, I would have brought my clubs and then had an opportunity to play some golf. Now working Tahoe.
Headed to North Berwick on Tuesday, which I know was a favorite of yours last year.
Can't wait to hear.
Very excited.
I just want the whole review. I guess we can do the whole review. I don't want to I want the full thing once you've had chances to digest all the places you've played at the end of this whole trip. Because how long are you going?
We're going to be here for, I guess we leave on Saturday and today's Sunday. So we have another.
There's just so many people that are probably listening right now. They're just say, wait, what? You got six more days of golf? No, I mean, is that math right? Are you leaving Saturday? Or are you
not
leaving
a math
Sunday?
Guy? So I think if we're just doing this right, so we're playing Prestwick tomorrow, North Berwick on Tuesday, and then we start getting into some double days. We're doing Carnoustie, Panmure. We're doing Crail, Jubilee. We're doing Dumbarney in the Old Course. And then we're finishing with Kingsbarns on Saturday. I was incorrect there. Playing Kingsbarns Saturday and then flying home on Sunday.
What I was going to get to is that a lot of people hate you. And rightfully so.
Sorry, everybody. but come over here and play these courses. And like this specific area, I mean, it's a shame we couldn't get on Troon for the Open, but there is so much good golf here. Western Gales
is the top five.
Western Gales was unbelievable, dude. Spiritual place, like on par with Sand Hills in terms of like the goosebumps you get when you're out in the course.
Have you ever written a blog?
I don't think I ever have written a blog. Should I?
I kind of think you should write a blog.
Just like a Scotland blog?
I want to read about your trip.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like we're in the video business. I feel like this could be like a YouTube video entry of a vlog, I believe is what those are called. Could do a little bit of that.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe we vlog this, but I do think a blog would be cool. I'd like to read just like how to do the trip. Interested, because planning's not easy for this stuff.
planning's not easy, and we're very lucky. Well, thanks to my dad for booking all the Marine hotels. So I think we're staying. We're here at Marine Troon, which is fantastic, right on Troon. And then we're doing the Marine, the hotel and spa in North Berwick for a night. Then we're doing Rustics for 5 days on the old course. So.
Sure.
If you didn't hate me before, you hate me now.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks, Dad.
I also say, you know, as one does when they go on a golf trip, I've been posting some swing videos on Instagram. Shout out to the two people who hopped in my DMs and told me my swing looked like Cam Young. I will make sure to Venmo you later. Dude, just shoot your handles over.
You actually do have some tempo similar to Cam Young. Like, you get the club to actually stop at the top. Right now mine is like a whiplash, just whoosh.
It's a swing that I like to borrow from. I also am working on similar anger management issues on the course. I've not cracked a driver ever, but you know, it happens to the best of us. So I'd say I understand it. A competitive drive, and you know, been there.
Is there a pub you could have watched the Rocket Mortgage at? Was that an option, or were you just watching it on an app? What were you doing?
So it's funny. What I really should have done is they had it on, like, they have like Sky Sports has like a channel for everything here, which is amazing. So they had a Sky Sports golf channel where they just take the CBS feed and just simulcast it and cut in from time to time with some thoughts from British commentators. So that was on the bar. I'm down here in like a conference room. I was trying to get set up, get everything ready for the pod. So I very sadly like used a VPN to watch ESPN, like the whatever is the hole by hole coverage, like the featured holes on 17. So I did not see any of the 18th hole.
I can walk you through it all.
Well, okay. Let's get right into it then. We'll save the Scotland vlog for another day. And we got, you know, plenty to get to at the end of this episode, but should we take the victory lap ish on the one and done picks yet? Or do you want to get right into the finish?
Let's talk about our one and done picks. I mean, it was a good week for it. Let's lead off with that.
It was a pretty dang good week for it, because Smiley, you and I liked, we were trying something new that you proposed, is like, let's pick four guys each and let's, you know, just tell people who we like and who our picks are. And let me read you, my four guys. I had Minwoo Lee tied for second, Aaron Rye tied for second, Luke Clinton, which, by the way, Luke Clinton, boys. Tied for 10th.
Good pick.
And then my obsession with Matt McNeely continues. He finished T44, so that was the one that I missed on. But
made the cut.
It's coming around. It's coming around for Matt. You had Cam Young tied for 6th, Taylor Moore tied for 10th, Andrew Novak tied for 20th, and then you also had a T44 for Chris Kirk. But
what that means is
he was 2 over on Sunday. Tough day it looked like the weather was kind of tough out there on Sunday.
It was
got
tough.
Chilly for a while.
I mean, guys were wearing jackets. I just can't even fathom that right now, how hot it's been in Birmingham. So that was a big story today. It was a northwest wind. The sun wasn't out till the very end of the day, and the greens were not good. I mean, they were a tough scene. I could tell very early in the day that it was going to be kind of a bit of a battle, kind of bunch leaderboard, because of the wind direction, of how hard it was blowing, being a north wind. That's always going to make this golf course play more difficult. All the par fives playing more back into the wind. And then just the greens, man, were bouncing all over the place. You could tell that when the Poana got wet, they were not rolling very true, because you saw guys miss putts from inside of 8 feet. They'd miss it by a foot. And you're like, what happened? Cam Davis did that on the eventual champion, which we'll eventually talk about Cam Davis. on the par five fourth hole, hits this beautiful wedge or 9 iron in there about 5 or 6 feet behind it. And I'm telling you, he misses putt by a foot. And then the next hole rolls in this awesome putt for birdie. And he was the only guy, it felt like, all day outside of, I know, even Akshay at times. I mean, we'll get to his putt on 18. But Cam Davis was putting the best out of the entire bunch today and really was close to making a ton of putts. But from watching it from start to finish today, which I'm sure you saw a good bit of the golf, that was my takeaway, was the conditions of the golf course being more difficult. So we didn't quite see the shootout that we were expected to see. And a bunch of leaderboard where it turned into a tournament. It's like, who wants to win? And that's, I think I'll remember this event by, yeah, Cam Davis won, but everybody else really lost.
Well, it was strange to have seen everybody going deep the first 3 days of the tournament and thinking that's what to expect on Sunday and just hoping both of our guys got a little horse race.
Yeah.
I mean, we were really fingers crossed for the first one and done playoff, which would have been electric featuring Aaron Rye and Cam Young. I mean, that would have been truly amazing stuff.
We need to be set up for that in the future, by the way. If that happens, we have our one and done guys. We have
Instagram
to be
live.
Able. Yes, like Instagram Live or get live on Twitch where people can watch the playoff with us and just me throwing something or you throwing something. I think that's something we got to get dialed in.
I love that. I love that. We're committing to that. We will be live on some platform if we get a one-done playoff, wherever it is, and everyone can join us and live the agonies, the highs and the lows with us. I mean, your report on the conditions maybe softens the blow of this a little bit. I have some clutch gene questions about Aaron Rye. Maybe if any English pod listeners out there, if you can give me the British equivalent of the clutch gene conversation, whatever you do over there. That's usually like a soccer footy discussion. By the way, congrats to all the England fans for making it through to the quarters of the Euros on a last gasp goal there by Jude Bellingham.
It was a sweet bicycle kick.
Jude Bellingham, very good. Very, very good at the footy. But anyway, yes, please chime in if you have a clutch gene equivalent. But I mean, it was tough. He did pull out a driver off the deck, which I know was enthralling.
It was
enthralling for you.
It was awesome. For somebody that's a driver off the deck connoisseur, you know, that's it is always the flavor of the month for me is the driver whenever I can. A lot of times now, as much as I've struggled with the swing over the last couple of years, I'll just throw the golf ball right on the ground on the tee because it's kind of high op-proof for me. You know, I have to wait on it. I have to let the club square up and I hit it as straight as I can with that club. But I wouldn't pull it necessarily on a somewhat forced carry or if I have to turn it over that much because that brings in the chunk. And if anybody that's ever hit a driver off the deck, if you try to turn something over with it, the chunk is in play. So his shot that he hit from, I don't know what the number was, it was somewhere in the 270 to 290 range and skirts it around that little pond. Unbelievable shot. The stones were to pull off the shot was sick. But Aaron Rye, just to your point today, Charlie, from watching him all day, he kind of got gypped because he was built for a day like today and just didn't have his normal stuff tee to green. And also, I think that was. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I just think that I was watching with my dad and, you know, who doesn't, you know, watched a ton of Aaron Rye, shockingly, and was just we were talking about the fact that I picked him and everything, and it was just my feeling was this guy's usually one of the best iron players on tour, and he's kept missing approach shot after approach shot, and kind of to your point, it's like he's usually not a great putter, but he's usually very accurate off the tee, and usually just can flag it almost every time on his approaches. And when you're not doing both of those things, yeah, it's going to be tough to win a golf tournament when you got a bunch of other guys at the top of the leaderboard who can score. And so, yeah, tough for all the hashtag Rye guys out there today, but we'll be back soon. We will be back soon.
He was missing everything a little bit out to the right off the tee. Same with some iron shots as well. And tentative with the putter. But I think a lot of guys were tentative with the putter today because they didn't want to have a 3-footer coming back. So you saw a lot of players putting balls that were just barely getting to the hole. And everybody's like, why are they, you know, why is it just getting to the hole? You know, they look tentative. And part of it is yes. But the other part is when you play bumpy greens that are fast, you never want to have a 3-footer coming back because it what is a normally a putt that is so simple and routine is now stress and you're thinking about it. And I've played that event. I've played Poana that gets bumpy. It's a scary feeling. And the tournament ended up coming down to that too.
Talk to me a little bit about just, we talk about grass is on the show for, you know, off and on. I fancy big myself as a very amateur nerd. Yeah. So, you know, from a tour experience, how does the Poe get that way? We've talked a lot about Poa Anna. Like it can be a very tough surface to putt on. We usually talk about it in the context of a lot of West Coast courses that have Poe. How does the Poe get that way? Is that just like, you know, taking on too much water, or is that more of like, you know, there's something the grounds crew should have been doing to get a little bit better for those guys? And is it, I mean, is it, I'm just curious, you know, the mechanics of how we get to that spot, and if there's anything you can do as a player other than kind of what you're saying, putting defensively.
I would say that Poa Anna, you know, not being somebody that grew up on the grass, just from my experiences of playing a Poa Anna on the tour and occasional other golf courses, it's always been for me just not leaving yourself downhill putts. It's always been very difficult to have fast greens on Poa Anna late in the afternoon. And any time that you had big rains, it was always very, very tricky to kind of navigate those greens, because you a lot of times can see the imperfections in the greens, and mentally that's the issues that I would always run into, is that I would see the just bumps or, you know, the slight imperfections. For somebody that grew up on bent greens, I was always scared and tentative of that, so I didn't know whether I should putt firm or I should putt soft. And a lot of times, whether I was outside of 10 feet, I was just trying to lag it up there. And if it happened to go in, great, because I did not want to have the tricky downhiller coming back. So I think Saturday is what kind of made the greens turn into, okay, they got a little slower because of the rain. And once you have a little bit of slow greens on Saturday, and then Sunday they're able to get the mowers out and cut them a little bit. They can be a little scary when they're a little softer, and now they're able to get the mowers and roll them a little bit, so they'll dry out and be a little quicker. That's kind of the scariest the day after. The day of, it's when they're slow and you can kind of get away with it. They're just bumpy and slow. So interesting stuff.
Listen, I know a guy who putted great on some tour Poa Anna services back in February that were a little bit wet. I just so happen to be looking at him right now. Go watch the Spyglass Hill video on our YouTube.
I'm still hooping right now. I'm ooh. I know it's a ongoing ball striking
it's a ball
deal in my head. Did you happen to see the Cam Davis interview at the end?
I did not. Just by virtue of not having any TV coverage, how anything notable from that?
I'm obviously not connected to Cam Davis's team on what every week or month looks like for him. I just kind of notice his results. Don't have the best relationships with his team. So a big fan of his. I love his game. But Amanda asked him a question, and he talked about how hard he's been working, and just said it's been a bit of a mental struggle for him. And at the end, he said that he's seeing a hypnotherapist. And I started thinking to myself, good for Cam, but do I need to see a hypnotherapist? Like, is that what I need to do? Like, do I need to go see a hypnotherapist?
Yes. And we need to videotape it, please.
I feel like the only hypnotherapists in the country are in New Orleans. I feel like they're all just in NOLA. Is that fair to say or no?
Not a far trip. I mean, my only experience with hypnotherapists in my life is when this is such a deep cut. When I was in school at Carolina and at Granville Towers, they'd hire a hypnotherapist to come in and like hypnotize people and then make them, you know, like walk around and cluck like chickens and things like that, all to our great delight before we went off and drank for the night. So I could look into the Granville Towers hypnotherapist for you. I'm assuming you want someone a little more professional than that. Maybe reach out to Cam Davis's team. But New Orleans hypnotherapist, I'm telling you, that'd be great YouTube content if we could get you down there, get you a little voodoo hypno. I'm in for that. I'd say on Cam, you know, it feels like he shot 2-under round today. You know, looking at some of the best rounds out there, Rico Hohe was 5-under today. Davis Thompson was 4-under today. But you look at some of the other names on the top of the leaderboard. Minwoo Lee made a nice little move today at around a 3-under. So, you know, he wasn't necessarily gifted the tournament, but the guys at the top of the board, Akshay Bhatia has an even par round. Aaron Rye has an even par round. And I think it was on the broadcast I heard Colt and Trevor talking about you know, just wondering why Cam hasn't won more on tour, because he's so immensely gifted. Mm. You know, he's got all the necessary tools, and it seems like he's had some streaks of when he's really informed, but then he kind of falls away for a while. And yeah, so it's interesting to hear him note those mental struggles, and then subsequently the route in which he's pursuing improvement there, hypnotherapy. That's quite interesting to me.
Yeah. I think with Cam Davis, just from my, watching of him and in times that he's been in contention, he struggles with, I think, knowing when to take risk on and when to not. And it's been simple mistakes that he just kind of compounded errors on easy holes, and then times that he plays over aggressive on holes that he shouldn't. And I think, to me, that's what I've noticed from Cam Davis, just not being able to take advantage of a golf course or a shot or an opportunity when it's presented to itself. And he just finds himself in, you know, top tens, but, you know, he never really has been able to kind of put himself into contention as much as he should. And I noticed that in Napa last year, where I'm like, is this guy know it's Sunday? Like, is he nervous? Like, why is he hitting some shots like this that just don't make any sense, because he just didn't show any of that the first 3 days. But today, man, like, I just think it was kind of, did he win it, or was it handed to him? I mean, he played really well. He got a really poor break on the 14th hole, hitting that beautiful three wood, rolls back in the water, chips it up. I believe he made bogey. I don't think he got it up and down for par.
He missed
that par putt. And then, you know, just, it was just a weird event, really odd event.
Oh yeah. Weird finish to one that had a lot of, you know, cool storylines. One of them, by the way, can we talk a little bit about the chef, Minwoo Lee? Not once, but twice on the back of the green with the chip shot, telling his caddy, go rip the pin, and holding both of them. I think it was 8 and 15. It was just that theater. I was watching my dad, and he was in, and I saw the second one. He's like, oh my gosh, he did this twice today. It's like, this guy's just, he's a showman, dude. He is just so good.
He is. And he's going to be kicking himself tonight. Lost by a shot. And if you go look at his day and him being able to chip in and be able to pull off some shots on a Sunday that you kind of need a little bit of luck on a Sunday to go your way to find yourself in contention, he found that. But he also had some mistakes, like the seventh hole, which is typically
seven, right?
Yeah, it's typically the easiest or one of the easiest holes on the course. I know it's a par five. Missed the fairway, laid it up, hit it onto the green, had like 25 feet for birdie, and proceeds to four putt, makes a double bogey.
Oh wow, I did not see that.
Yep,
that is tough. And then for a guy that's not a bad putter usually,
the greens.
There you go. Case in point.
I think it has everything to do with the green.
That's so interesting.
And then 18, if you go look at the shot thing, he missed like a 6-footer, I believe, for par, and then missed another like 2.5-footer. So that was a mistake. And then 18, man, hits you know, gets up and down, short left on 17, makes birdie, finds a fairway at 18, which is not an easy drive, and hits it the only place you can't do on 18, which is long left. And there you go.
Yeah, it's if you're looking at this leaderboard, you know, Cam Davis obviously won before, Auction's obviously won before, but just looking at some of the names on this leaderboard that are so close to that first tour win and feels like they should have already, and just kind of going down it. I mean, Davis Thompson's played well in some events, came close a couple years ago.
He's close.
AMX. He's close. Minwoo Lee, Aaron Rye, Eric Cole, Cam Young. It's just, this is the type of event where you have an opportunity to go out and get a tour win, not even in a fall event, in a regular season event with, you know, a bit of a weaker field because of where it's placed in the schedule. But you could go out and pick off a win here if you're trying to get a first time win. And so many of those guys, you got to wonder, just going back and just going over their round today,
yeah,
should have done this better, should have done that better, and which one of those guys can rebound. I mean, I just, you know, maybe the next place to go is Cameron Young, and just like, is he kicking himself over, you know, kind of that whole little driver mishap that happened because he's got another par five to play. And he still reaches that par five and two, but he's just on the front of the green after going, I guess, three wood. And then, you know, three putts there for par. But just a tough way to kind of leave some shots out there for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're aware of the snap driver as well?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah, that was, I think that was on the
14th hole.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm saying. On 17, I think he hit three wood to the front of the green.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy. I mean, the guy's insanely long, but obviously has like a really, like that lag. You got to think if he's hitting a shorter club in there, even if he's lagging in his first putt, he's going to tap in for birdie. He's going to be right there.
That's whereas he has 10 feet short, man. Oh, just all tough. Right. So Cam Young, let's dive into Cam Young.
Let's do it.
My one and done pick. My hero this week. I was cheering for Cameron Young harder than I've ever cheered for him in my life. And once you have a rooting interest from somebody, you really start to pay attention to every single thing that they do. And I felt like I was a friend watching from afar, and I just felt like I needed to just go up to him and be like, dude, snap out of it, right? Because when you watch Cam Young – I'm telling you, like two or three times a day, I'm just doing some work here on the computer, and I have the golf on, and I hear this sound coming off of a face, and I was like, whoa, who was that? Every single time it was Cam Young. And I thought that said everything you needed to know about Cameron Young, which is undeniable power and just raw talent and skills. But one of the biggest ingredients that he is missing that I felt like Trevor nailed right at the end, because Colt said, what's the takeaway this week? And Trevor said, you know what? He's got to start working on his mental game. And that is exactly what I've been noticing and what Trevor was able to take away from the back nine on a Sunday is that he's too hard on himself. He is way too hard on himself. And I wonder if he's just a little bit too proud to work on his mental game, because what I see is somebody that has really high expectations for themselves and wants perfection and demands it out of himself, out of his team. And doesn't it feel like a player like him, the longer this goes along where he doesn't get that win and doesn't look himself in the mirror, maybe this is the week in which he says, you know what? I need to be kinder to myself, like Trevor said, after he's putting out on Sunday. I need to find a way to be kinder to myself when the moments are the biggest and find a way for a little smile to come out. Let me see some Cam Young pearly whites on a Sunday. Let me see just that beard glisten a little bit more, because for somebody that was his biggest fan this week, nobody was cheering for him harder. He was hard to root for because of the way he was just kind of belittling himself. Who knows what he was saying under his breath? I was that way. I understand what he's going through. Mm-hmm. That is exactly how I was wired. I don't want that drive to go away, but use it in a way in which it'll fuel you to winning golf tournaments, like a way that kind of like John Rahm does. Yes, does he cuss a lot? Absolutely. Is he the model citizen on a golf course? Absolutely not. But what is he able to do? He's able to turn the page from one shot to a next on a Sunday on a back nine and realize, hey, this isn't a time to sulk. This isn't a time to look at shots that I didn't pull off. We've got to find a way to get the ball in the hole and understand what it takes to win a golf tournament, what that number is going to be. Hopefully Cam Young and his team are able to go do that, because he definitely needs to go and look in the mirror and be like, I should have won that golf tournament. That this was my tournament to win.
He is a guy that kind of similar to the point you're making earlier about looking up when you're hearing a certain sound. He's a guy who I love to watch hit the golf ball and has since he first came on tour. And honestly, when he first arrived, the guy who he reminded me the most of was Dustin Johnson. A little Sleepy Hollow water
Cam
bottle.
Young
Shout
guy.
Out Cam Young. Big Cam Young guy. You know, many people saying I swing like Cam Young. So, you know, big there Cam you Young guy. Big Cam Young guy. But I mean, he's like, to me, he reminded me a lot of Dustin Johnson, because he was so mild-mannered and quiet and hit the ball a mile, was pretty easygoing. But in those years since, like, really, you know, I don't know that it started at the Genesis where he narrowly lost to Joaquin Niemann, but maybe kind of just in the months after that and kind of a dip in form, it just seems like more and more of his story is the looking at putts every single time he misses a putt, just looking up and I can't believe it did that, or, you know, looking at his caddy and just wondering. And this is not even speculation. I'm not assigning any sort of value to this, but just wondering what happened. When Paul Tesori got Cam Young's bag, and the first week he finished runner up in the match play, I'm thinking this guy is going to take off. He's going to the moon. He's got the right guy on his bag. If there's maturing he needs to do on the PGA Tour, this is the guy to kind of be with him. And then that partnership dissolves so quickly. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what the reasons were behind it, but it just makes me wonder where his head's at and you know, what the types of things he's going through. And we see a lot of caddy player relationships dissolve over just not being the right voice for a guy at a certain time.
Yeah.
So that one was always a big question mark to me. And so all that is by way of saying, I'm in the same boat as you. Is like, I think he needs to, you know, look himself in the mirror a little bit and just say, hey, you know, it's not a talent thing. I have all the talent in the world. You know, it's just, you know, just finding the right person to talk to him, you know, and kind of talk him through some of the things, you know, that he's just doing mentally and get him to a better place. Because I think that simple fix could just make a world of difference in, you know, just some of these, you know, you make a bad score or you hit a bad putt and it's like, okay. I mean, I thought there was, you know, I was really impressed today. I know Akshay didn't win the tournament, but the hole, and I'm forgetting which hole it was, where he hit that tree off the tee. It was like a 97, 98 yard drive. And if I didn't show you the shot, you would have, you know, and you were just looking at his behavior and handing the club to the caddy, it's like he probably just striped another one 300 yards down the middle of the fairway and goes up there and makes an incredible working man's par. And it's like, I'm not saying Cam Young doesn't do that, doesn't have the capability to do that. It's just, I think there's so much that goes into how you handle yourself and react to, you know, negative situations and just accept result and go out and hit the ball wherever it is next, that I think, you know, that simple fix, it has nothing to do with his talent. But if he can make that change, I mean, I think the wins are going to start coming in bunches.
Yeah, and I want to touch a little bit more on the Akshay stuff that you just mentioned here, just after tying a knot on Cameron Young. And we said this when Paul Tesori and Cameron Young split up. Said the same thing, look in the mirror, that whole thing, because we all know Paul Tesori to be one of the game's best caddies. You put him in the top five, Ted Scott, you know, there's the list is, you know, it's a small list of guys that you're like, okay, yeah, Paul Tesori's got, he's that good. And I think he's the reason why he is, besides just being a good player, a really good person, somebody that has a ton of experience, is that I think he's really one of the best coaches, if you will, for a caddy and a player. And I think that's what you're starting to see it with Tom Kim. Tom Kim believes in Paul Tesori. He's totally fine with taking advice and just good old hard fashioned love and coaching from a guy who's there and for every single shot and every single moment of every day on the PGA Tour. And I felt like in my conversations with Paul, and just observing Cameron, that I think you can say that relationship should have worked. Hmm. And the reason why it didn't, I think, was much more Cameron Young than it was Paul Tesori.
Interesting.
I think it shows just a little bit of immaturity from Cameron, from a guy who I wouldn't call very immature as a person off the course, very mature, very smart, really very hard worker. But I think you got to find a way, if you're Cameron now, to be like, all right, why has it not happened yet? Why has it not happened? Are you going to keep blaming, whether it's just bad luck or bad greens on Sunday, or is it maybe, am I just not quite there mentally yet to be able to go do it? And I think that's where we're at with Cameron. At least that's where I'm at.
Well, and I think too, the whole driver, you know, the shaft or whatever, the head snapping, you know, when he kind of pressed down on an anger is sort of encapsulates that entire thing, because all that does is put you at a competitive disadvantage. That's all it does, you know, and it's, and I get it. We all get frustrated on golf course.
Can't do it there.
I'm one of the best golf club throwers in America. Like I can helicopter that thing like nobody else. But like you just can't do it in that spot at that time.
Yeah.
With that many holes left to play, where you need that driver to put you in a good spot.
Put it on the other foot. Let's play a little hypothetical.
Okay.
So Cameron Young, he hits 3-wood gap wedge into the 16th hole, downwind, doesn't carry the gap wedge far enough, spins it back. Hits a putt about 4 feet, 5 feet by, misses that putt. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want to count that as a 2-putt, fine. There's one shot. 17th hole, 3-wood onto the green. Could have been a driver, maybe hybrid. Maybe hits it closer. Maybe it's an easier 2-foot birdie. We're going to definitely count that as a miss opportunity and a shot there. So we're talking two shots.
Yeah.
And we get to the 18th hole. And because of the wind direction in off the left today, 3-wood is never the club in that situation. It's always a driver because you want to carry the left side. Where does he hit it? 3-wood hits it in the bunker. Now he's left in a situation where birdie's totally out of the play. And if he would have had an opportunity to hit the driver and have that club in his bag, okay, you're one of the best drivers on the tour. You hit it the straightest. And he did not drive it well at all today for a guy that's always been a fantastic ball striker, was a little all over the place, was struggling with left misses throughout the day. And yeah, let his temper get to him and broke a club. He broke the one club he needed on 18. And let's just say he would have made a birdie on 17 and a par on 16. We're looking at Cameron Young right there. That's how close it was. We even got to Akshay yet. I'm just so tied up on Cameron Young because I was wanting him to win so bad.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and get there. I think the last thing, you know, on Cameron Young is, and now I've just completely lost my train of thought. So we're not.
We're done on Cameron Young. Let's just go to Akshay.
It's late. It's now officially past midnight. Yeah. In Troon. So that means
we've hit it hard enough. Let's just go to Akshay. Enough.
Let's go right to Akshay. I mean, a tough loss. But I mean, I kind of go back to the same place that we were just talking about with his reaction that drive. It's like it would be a lot tougher if he hadn't won a PGA Tour event already and is looking for his first win. Maybe that's the pressure that Cam and others were feeling. I feel like this one is, you just chalk it up to weird Poe greens and a weird kind of roll at the end of the round and just say, all right, we're going to win another one. No big deal here.
Yeah.
I thought some of the short game shots he hit. The bunker shot was 17 was stupid good.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to hit it in the stands and just one hop stop. Shout out Gabe Heerenstedt and your sick wedges. But yeah, that was unbelievable.
I'll kind of go through Akshay's round and what I felt like, what impressed me about him today was what he did on the fourth hole, because the third hole today, he hits a drive right down the middle of the hole. Right down the middle of the fairway. It's a pitch green back to front, like pretty much all the greens are at that golf course, and has only 92 yards to a left flag and misses the green left and then kind of decelerates a chip shot from some thicker rough and doesn't even get on the green, has to chip it again, makes bogey. So he was already in a position, I felt like, to kind of push Aaron Rye right from the get-go. Aaron Rye had a couple shot lead. And so he makes a dumb bogey there that just didn't make any sense. And you're like, all right, maybe he's nervous. I don't know what's going on. So he goes to the par five, back into the breeze, 3-shot hole that day. Ball ends up in a divot on his third shot, hits it to like 30 feet, hoops it for birdie. I'm like, that's the type of bounce back and confidence you love to see from a guy that knows how to win, is having a really nice season. And as the round went on, it just felt like his experience and being in these final groups this year was going to pay off. Let's just go to the Century this year, final group and the first event of the year. So like Akshay right at the beginning of the year is one of the guys that it's like, all right, this is going to be the year Akshay makes the jump. Then you go all the way to Valero for an event that was insane. Just be able to go out and shoot the second best score that day when he had a 5-shot lead or whatever it was on the back nine. Go and pull it off, right? It's like, okay, this guy's got some stones. He made some big putts down the stretch that he had to make. And like you said, fantastic around the greens. And just his confidence is, to me, is what is what I keep referring back to. And anytime I've been around him, he's just one of the more confident kids you'll ever be around. There's nothing that he doesn't think he can't do. And even when he hit probably a shot he hasn't hit in a very long time, which is a little low hook off the tee at 13, and only hit it about 90 yards, I think, according to ShotLink, hits a hook three wood up there about 40, 50, 60 yards short of the green, and then hits this saucy little wedge shot up there and makes par. And then the next hole, the confidence on the par five, hit driver three wood right next to the pond, which is a, I don't know if it was a stupid play, but just to get it that close, and then hit this little cool, this cool, like low grabbing wedge shot that skipped up the hill. I just love Akshay's game. It's a shame that it had to come down to a missed 3.5 footer on 18, but nothing changes for me on my opinion on Akshay and what I think he's capable in this game and how I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be around in majors, because guess what he does? Drives it good, irons it well, putter is coming around, short game is absolutely becoming a strength. And what do you got to do to win majors? You got to be confident, and Akshay's got it.
For me, the missed putt at the end felt similar. I'm not saying Akshay Batia is on Scottie Scheffler level, but it felt a lot to me like the miss at the Houston Open that Scottie had to send it to a playoff with Steven Yeager at the end, where it's like, we've seen enough from Scottie and his putter to know that he's going to be absolutely fine. He's going to keep it rolling. Yeah. And Akshay,
Scottie's putt was easier.
Scottie's putt was easier for sure. And I'm just saying, I guess more from like a mental takeaway standpoint, I don't worry at all if that's going to get in his head. For a guy that switched that broomstick, he's putting it so much better now, mm-hmm. having gone to that. The short game toolkit is just like gone off the charts. I think this guy's got just all the potential in the world to keep winning. And to your point, you know, it's like, I actually think the psychology of that is really interesting to unpack, of a guy like Cam Young, who probably came out with similar talent but doesn't get a win early, feels this sort of burden and pressure, whereas like Akshay knocks that out and maybe their wiring is completely different. Seemingly, you know, Akshay is just a guy that it feels like he's always had that level of confidence.
Yes.
But I think getting that win out of the way early, proving to yourself that you can make it on the PGA Tour, especially as a lot of people had questions about the route that you took to get to the PGA Tour, being able to kind of do that, validate yourself and say, all right, I can play with these guys. I got no problems at all with that. I mean, I think he's got more wins coming. And what year, if you're picking a year when Akshay Batia wins his first major, what are you setting the over under on for Akshay Batia career majors? And what year do you think the first one comes in?
I think that's such a hard question, because you never know when a guy's kind of going to have his stuff. I mean, the way he's trending, you can argue that Akshay is a force to be reckoned with this year at the Open. Let's just look at about what he's done recently. Final group at Travelers, has a chance down the stretch to potentially win at the Travelers. Doesn't work out for him. Scottie Scheffler wins. But what were the takeaways from the Travelers with Akshay? He got a little loose with the ball striking. But who was he playing with? He was playing with Scottie Scheffler. I think it's a huge, huge learning experience for a guy like Akshay to be paired with the game's best, to realize, it's like, you know what? I can maybe I'm not quite as good of a ball striker as Scottie, but I'm pretty damn close. I can control my golf ball really well. And what did Scottie do so well at the Travelers down the stretch? He just kept hitting shot after shot after shot, like he was supposed to. And that's what Akshay's capable of doing. And I think the learning experience from the Travelers, the confidence that you get from winning at Valero, the confidence that you got last year winning at Reno, making putts down the stretch, and being in final groups matters. And having experience throughout the year that he's been in final groups, he knows what to expect. If he gets himself into contention at a major, let's say at the Open this year, don't rule that guy out, because he knows how to handle it. He's been there. He hasn't been in a major championship type of format with that in a final group. But hey, let's see, maybe I don't know how to answer that, your original question.
I was gonna say, congrats on artfully dodging all parts of that question.
Yeah. Well,
let me ask you this. If I set the over under for career majors for Akshay Batia at 3.5. Over under. Or how about two and a half?
Well, let me hear yours. Let me hear your answer first.
Well, the reason why I'm in that 3.5 to 2.5 category is I think if it's 2.5, I'm going over. And I think 3.5 might be kind of, it's, I mean, because you just never know. I mean, there's so many things that go into winning a major that are far beyond just a guy having talent, right? So, you know, staying healthy, you know, there's just a million different things. But I mean, he obviously has the talent to win a lot of majors, but if I'm a betting man, like I'm laying money on the over on 2.5, and I might be going over on 3.5 too.
All right. So I'm just sitting here looking at all time major win records right now. So if you set it at 3.5, there's only been 29 players to win
four majors.
So are you saying that he's going to be a top 30 player of all time? Because if you're just measuring based off major performances, that's where you stand on Akshay's talent. I'm not saying that's not right. I'm just saying that
I'm looking at age, I'm looking at talent, and I'm looking at mindset. So he's definitely on the right side on the age. He's definitely got all the talent in the world, and it seems like he's got a phenomenal mindset. So like, you know, I mean, I know it. I think the thing about Akshay that is kind of hard for people to process is like the path still, you know, it's like you still kind of group him in this up and comers lane. But I think we've seen enough of late to say this guy's got legit top 20 guys on tour talent, maybe even higher than that. So that's why it is crazy when you put it like that, though. You're like, you're saying he's going to end up as a top 30 player in the history of the game. You're like, wow. I mean, but I think he's got the talent to do it.
Before I answered the question, I wanted to go see before I just said, oh yeah, he can definitely win over 3.5 majors. I wanted to see exactly what that list looked like. It seems like to me, a fair answer would be two. I think two majors would be probably where I would set it. I think three, you jump into a huge different category. And obviously if you get to four,
how many people have three out of curiosity?
How many players have three majors?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking, hold on. Looks like 17.
Oh, so 29 have four or more, and then you add 17 more to the mix at that rate. So, that's not a math guy. 46, I guess.
it's either 16 or 17 guys. Because 29 have four or more, and then it starts at 30, then the next. Yeah, so it would be 16 guys.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that's, you know, again, that's still an elite group to join. But, I mean, yeah, I think two or three is probably the reasonable answer. But I think he's got
42 guys have two. So that that to me is, I guess, if you're a wager or you're a gambler, I would take the under on the 2.5 and the 3.5, just looking at history. But I agree with all your sentiments about what he's got, the age, he's got the talent, he's got the skill. So, I mean, I'm not telling you you're wrong by any means. It wouldn't surprise me if you went five. I'm just using history as my guide, I guess.
Well, on the topic of young talent, can we shout out to my guy, Luke Clinton, for just coming through when I just dark horse him this week? Good playing, Luke.
It was a
really
good
play.
What got you on Luke Clinton? Because I'd made a note earlier that week to try to mention Luke Clinton. And then when you mentioned him, I was like, golly, I totally forgot to write him down, but I was happy that you did.
I'm going to take you deep inside my process, Smiley, because it's very, very scientific. It's called data gut. Okay. So here are the two components of data gut. Okay. One is data golf, which is such a beautiful tool that I paid a lot of money to use. And I'm so happy that I've done it because it's fantastic. The second is,
wait,
right,
do you actually pay for data golf?
I do pay for data golf.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what is paying for it do? Do you get extra what?
You get like a whole laundry list of additional tools that you can use that are
so
phenomenal.
I should be using it.
I will give you my login at a very discounted rate.
Wait, nobody, nobody turn us into Data Golf, please.
Please don't turn us into Data Golf. This is Data Golf. We're giving you lots of pub here. You have an amazing, amazing service that I love. So second part of Data Gut is, of course, the gut part, which is just, when I'm looking at kind of the stats coming into the week and who Data Golf's models like, you know, where they think they're going to, it's, I think it's really easy to cross-reference, you know, what the books are saying in terms of odds versus what Data Golf is saying in terms of who they like the most. And when you see a guy that is much, much higher on Data Golf's list of predictive who's going to play well at this course based on recent results and based on course fit, that to me is like, okay, then you just get a little flag, right? Like, I'm putting you on my short list of guys, and then I'm going to go and look at that list of guys and say, what have I watched recently that tells me this guy's in good form, or that I've seen this guy hit shots, or I feel like he has a certain game. So the thing I liked about Luke was I thought he played fantastic at the U.S. Open. He and Neil Shipley were right there going back and forth for low AM honors before Neil, of course, turned pro, was in the field this week, also played well. And what I specifically liked here is, like, I feel like when you go to a course where it's going to be a score fest, there's something about a young guy who just wants to come in and let it rip, who's willing to kind of roll the dice and take some gambles, that just really kind of suits those type of courses. So it was a combination of looking at, you know, a set of stats that really, you know, kind of bode well for Luke versus, you know, what his betting odds were. It was a combination of watching a play recently and then additionally just being like, this guy is going to go in there and just have at it as an AM and just roll the dice. I think he's going to go low. And sure enough, you know, tied for 10th, 14 under for the week.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And I think the U.S. Open thing was great that you talked about him and Neil going at it. But I think there was some advanced metrics like you talked about with Data Golf, and his ball striking on Sunday was apparently really good at Pinehurst and was really high up in that Pinehurst U.S. Open ball striking statistics, which you're like, all right, give me that.
Yes.
So 100%. We know how difficult that was. So, yeah. Let's see what Luke can do the rest of the year. Kept an eye on that guy for a while now. Just quite the stud, Luke Clanton. And he's an amateur, though. So is he?
Still an am. Still an am, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what the word is on that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, didn't you? I actually have no idea what class is he. Is he a freshman or a sophomore?
No, he's definitely not a fresh. I think he's a sophomore.
Sophomore?
That sounds right.
Because he was in the national championship match, you know, against Auburn, and we were talking about him and Jackson Koivin, who I didn't see where Jackson finished.
He shot even, missed a cut.
Missed a cut. Ah, oh, there you go. So, okay, Smiley, here's what I'm proposing then as we kind of take victory laps and all this. So we got the John Deere Classic this week, and we've been doing our Instagram lives for the most part. Well, I guess we did this last one on Wednesday morning, but we've done some Tuesday evening. I'm playing North Berwick at 12:30 Scotland time on Tuesday. So I'll be off the course around 4:30. That's like 11:30 Eastern. That's 10:30 your time on Tuesday. What do we think about a little post North Berwick Instagram live to give the people some John Deere Classic one and done picks?
As long as you have a pint in your hand, I'm in.
I can arrange for a
pint.
On
the back patio of 18. I want you to call me as soon as you're done and we will do it.
I love that so much. I'm telling, we're going straight from there to Rustic.
Actually, can you just do it like walking down a fairway at North Berwick?
It might interfere a little bit with my round. We'll see. We'll see how up for it I am. Maybe
when
I can,
you,
like, talk
when you
my
get to the 18th
either.
Hole at North Berwick, just realize that I opted out to not play the 18th hole just because I cared for everybody in the street on the right in the parking lot that lines the 18th hole.
Let me tell you something. You can appreciate this as a guy with the high odds. In my worst nightmare, I'm standing on a tee at Turnberry with a 30-mile-per-hour left to right wind, and it does not matter how far left I aim. I could aim just at a 90-degree angle. The ball is still going to end up 50 yards right of my intended target. It's like Turnberry just ate my lunch for that reason. But like even at Western Gales is such a phenomenal course, but the way it's situated is it's right on the water. So like the first four holes go out this way and you turn right around and you play 5 through 13 back along the ocean, like right on the coastline this way. And then 14 through 18, it's like almost like a racetrack. 14 through 18, you go right back home and you finish right at the clubhouse. So today, 1 through 4 were a nightmare because it was left, right wind, left, right wind. 5 through 13, I was like, sign me up for a mini tour qualifier. Like, I am so good. Like, you're, I hit so a drag. I was so back. And then we flipped it around on 14. I was like, oh, there's a guy I know. That's the old left or right wind again. I just can't. There's nothing I can do. And the wind here is just, you know, once it starts blowing, you just got no chance. So
100%. And if you've made it this far in the episode and you're here at the beginning, and if you realize that Charlie is at the side of the Open Championship, just 3 weeks away, you just gotta feel like he needs to do the service for the people and he needs to go walk this golf course. He really does need to go do his homework. If he doesn't walk the course, at least just have that the vibes and the juju when you do make your one and done pick, that it comes from a place of, yeah, I've walked this ground. I know exactly what this place is like. I think you owe it to all the listeners, subscribers, and all those folks that follow the show. You're there. Don't skip out on what could be a winning one and done pick at a major. That's just going to leave that right there.
Maybe I'll go into the pro shop tomorrow and just beg and tell them, look, I'm a very major podcast with Smiley Cop.
Just hand over all your one and done picks from the year and be like,
yeah,
I have to do this. I have to do this. Like, no, sir, you can't go out there. No, you don't understand.
You don't get it.
I have to do this.
I'll say, look, I'll WhatsApp you our picks before we make them so we don't move any lines. You too can get in on this. You can get a great price on these picks. Let me see what I can do. I took a good look at the 18th green where it's all going to finish. And it's so cool. I mean, the green is like,
it's cool. Yeah.
There's a green. There's like, you know, 2 yards of rough. And then it's like, the little pebble walkway in the clubhouse, like, please do not hit it long, because I can't imagine the RNA is giving out TIO relief for funsies. So it's a cool little finisher right there in front of the clubhouse, and a really cool course. And I know that this is the one place you played in your Open Championship, yeah. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Postage stamp. Yeah. Maybe I'll go out, take a little look at the postage stamp to make sure I'm well-researched with people. But yeah, left or right wins out here. Really hoping we don't get any of those at Prestwick. We're probably going to get those at Prestwick. That's the most what I have for you. I had some for American Airlines. I did make my flight on time, but I'm not gonna do it. But American Airlines, I just want you to know you're on notice, and I may be asking for the flight voucher you gave back to my wife when you kicked her off a plane without volunteering and told her she volunteered as a pregnant woman. I might be asking for that in cash, so I never have to fly your airline again. But we're not going to go there yet, because I still have the back end flights home to Raleigh Durham, and you might like cancel my itinerary if I go too far. I would like to say, unless you have anything on American Airlines, Smiley.
Oh, I do.
Okay, please take the floor here.
All I want to say is I'm so due for an American Airlines mishap. That's all I wanted to say.
It's bound to happen. I mean, it's mind-boggling that
it's summertime.
We had two family incidents in the span of 3 weeks, maybe. So I'll leave it at that. The one thing I would like to end the episode with is iMessage stickers.
Oh, I haven't gotten to it yet, but some people have been doing it in the group chat. I'm going to get to it. Just haven't quite got there yet.
Complete game changer. Mm. Like the best, it's like, it's emojis on a whole different level. You could do them with live photos.
How do I do it?
So this movement. Okay. So just go to any picture, go to like a picture of Anna Carter you have recently. And basically you pull that picture up.
Okay.
And you press down on the subject in that picture. And it kind of does this little like highlighting thing.
How do you press down the subject of the picture? Or you just like hold it?
No, like the person in the picture, like you would press down on Anna Carter briefly, and then it'll pop up and it'll say add sticker.
Oh God, that's dangerous.
And so then what happens then is in an iMessage chat, you can either just send that sticker separate as a text in itself, or you can like click down on someone's text in the chat or you know whatever in the stream, and you can add a sticker to that text.
Okay.
Almost like you're reacting to it with an emoji or something like that. And then you can like make it bigger. It's a beautiful, beautiful world of messaging interaction. And I just want to you have big kudos to Apple for installing that feature because it is the best.
Okay. I'll start working on it.
I've got a good one. I've got a good one for you here. I'm just going to text this to you so you can see it. I'm going to put this on the fax machine.
Please.
Where this is my son in an Eagle shirt climbing a stairwell. And it's just,
Oh, look at that.
You see that? That's pretty good stuff there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I got a lot of really good videos of some friends that could be just
stickers.
It's just going to be a plug and play, honestly.
I think you entering the stickers world is going to be great for us as a show, for all of your group chats. Everyone out there on iMessage, stickers, use them. It's lots of fun.
It looks like you can't do if it's a screenshot, you can't do anything about that.
I think you can. Sometimes those are harder to get it to go, but I think if you put the right effort into it, it works.
Okay.
You can make it work. See, and look, and if you go back to our text, I just made Walker bigger and now he's like climbing all over the middle of the text while my dog Nora walks around the background. They're just the best. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. All right. Noted.
Stickers. Noted. That's the thing. That's all I got for you, Smiley. It's now 12:27 in Troon.
Yeah, go to bed.
I'm going to go to bed. Peace. And we're going to do one and done picks for the John Deere Classic from North Berwick Back Patio 18 on Tuesday, I guess mid to late morning in America.
Perfect. Love it. See you another time.
See you another time. Thanks everybody for listening and watching, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes. So I'm happy to come on and shoot the